And I want to show you a couple of pictures after this. So the first one that I believe the Lord wants to do with us this morning, we get to go to the next slide. The Lord's going to put a stethoscope to your heart. You're going to listen to your heartbeat. The next one that he's going to do, for some of us, we can go to the next slide. There's going to be an x-ray taking place this morning. And the third one is going to be an MRI scan. There's a deep sense this morning that the Lord is wanting to put a stethoscope to your heart, that the Lord, by the power of his Holy Spirit, is going to do x-rays on people here this morning. But the Lord doesn't just work at the surface like an x-ray would be. An x-ray would show certain things. I'm not a medical person, but what I do know is, because the MRI is way more expensive, it goes a lot deeper. And I felt like this morning, this is what the Lord wanted to do with us. Now, I wonder how many of us here would go for an annual checkup at the doctor. Some of us maybe don't feel that we need to do that, but it's normally encouraged that at some point we go and have an annual checkup. You take your car for a service once a year, but we as people need to have an annual checkup to make sure that the physical stuff is taken care of. And I felt like the Lord saying, but we also need to take care of the spiritual. And so with that, we talk about things like annual checkups. I'll share a little bit of my own life. I'm on a very low-dose blood pressure medication, and so I've got to go and see the doctor once every 6 months for my prescriptions to check my bloods, but then he does the sugar levels and cholesterol and everything else that goes with it. We need to do these things. It's important. I also, for many of you, you know, at one point I was in a moon boot, and what had happened was I ended up at the doctor because I had such incredible discomfort that I could hardly walk. When I got out of bed, I was limping to the toilet and through the rest of the house. And I needed to go and see the doc, who referred me then to an orthopedic surgeon. The orthopedic surgeon did some examinations and tests on my foot, and he made me try and get up on my foot. If I go like this right now, I couldn't even do that when I went to the orthopedic surgeon, where I could get on the ball of my right foot, or on the front part of my right foot. And so he did a lot of tests, and at one point was saying, oh, I think I'm going to stick a cortisone in it. And then I said to him, well, isn't it funny? Because on the way to you, in the week leading up to that, I had such a problem with my foot, but my right shoulder had an issue all of a sudden. And so eventually he said, I think we're going to do an MRI scan on this one, and I'm going to stick a cortisone in this one. So I was a right royal wreck going to that. You know, I really felt like, what more could go wrong at this time? But the point with this is there needed to be a checking things out and a processing things. And then they had to send me to go and get the necessary tests so that we could check what needed to happen and what treatment actually could be given to me. And hence the boot came. And then just through a friend, in sharing this with him, he also said to me, Ant, you need to go for physio. Many of you will know that the physio was here last week. I was with her. She's referred me to a biokinetist. And the beautiful thing is that by me going, what's happened is we've been able to pick up things and we've been able to systematically deal with stuff. There's medication, there's rest, and there's exercises, little things that we need to do. And you know what the interesting thing is? It's the same thing that applies when we look at our spiritual lives. When I look at the exercise that I was given for my foot, I had this toe exercise. I challenge you all, when you get home today, take your shoes off. And then put your feet down and just try and lift your big toe without the rest of the foot lifting. Okay? And then you had to do this up and down, and then you've got to try and move the pinky. And the funny thing is, I looked at this and I was going, what the heck? This is like dumb exercises. But you know what the funny thing is? It's the very stuff that worked. It's not the big stuff. It's the small stuff that works. And that's what God wants to bring to our attention this morning. And I felt like as a congregation, we've been going now for about 6-7 weeks, and we have done well. I mean, Vaughn is here visiting this morning, and thank you for helping our sound guy set things up. And he's from one of the other Joshian congregations. And so what we're doing is we're just tightening up things and making sure that we can do everything we do with excellence. So we've done well. The thing is, the Lord's not interested in the practical. He's interested in the spiritual. He's interested in your lives, our lives. And he wants to do a deep work here. And I felt like the Lord over the last few weeks is starting to draw a line in the sand. And I believe that the Lord is saying to folk that I want to break strongholds of sin in people's lives. And I felt like the Lord saying, I want to break the demonic oppression that is on people and the patterns that people have got. And God wants to bind up the brokenhearted and he wants to set the captives free. And the reason why he's doing this is because for many of us, we've walked a Christian journey where we know how to be Christians, but we get caught in a rut. And what happens is the Lord is saying, I don't want you to live in a rut. I want you to live free. And I want the church to live free because God has called her to more. And God wants to model something, not only in Kales River, but in the surrounding areas and the city and this nation and nations of the world. But a church that is healed and a church that is understanding the authority and the courage and the boldness that God is putting on them will be an effective church, will be a healthy church. The problem is, I think for many of us, what happens is when you go to hospital, the first time that you get an operation, the first day or two is lacquer because you can sit back, you get your food, etc., etc. There is discomfort. But have you noticed the hospital doesn't want to keep you there forever? But the problem is with Christ followers, and I'm saying this with great love and tenderness and respect because I speak to myself as well. The problem with us is we live with the stuff that God is wanting to set us free from. We hold on to this stuff. And the Lord is saying, that's the very thing I've come to set you free from. It's like you wanting to stay in hospital rather than move forward, heal, and be effective for me. And so the heart that's coming this morning is genuinely a heart of love from the Lord, I believe. There's a cry, even that prophetic word that was brought about the mountain. Many of us started out and we saw the mountain and we've seen God do amazing things. And then gradually, slowly but surely, what happens is we veer off course. And I feel like the Lord is saying, I want you to realign yourselves and I want you to push back into Jesus. I want to give you a spiritual, antibiotic, scriptural bomb today. So I'm just going to go for it. And I want to honor time because we're going to have ministry as well. But let's go with the first scripture, Hebrews 12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Why am I starting with this scripture? The very reason I asked JJ and Chris to come up and share was last week I was sharing around the whole topic of leadership, how we align ourselves, how we relate, etc. Listen to what they said this morning. They were so convicted by what God did with them last week. And this is the beautiful thing. We are a word-based and a spirit-filled church, spirit-led church. We need the word and the spirit. And you've got to hear God speaking to you when there's preaching and teaching up front here. And so what happens is I need to say to you that the word of God is alive and active. It's the most powerful thing on the planet. It's the spoken word of God that's powerful. It's the written word of God. Not just the word, it's the spirit of the word that becomes important for us. And it's a beautiful thing that when you read scripture or when the scriptures are being taught, that the Lord is piercing our hearts for us to search our hearts and our minds because nothing is hidden from him. You can be sitting here this morning smiling on the outside, but inside you're an absolute train wreck. The Lord sees it. And I want to say to you, this is a safe place. We don't judge you. We love you and we encourage because none of us is perfect. We're all a work in progress. And we will stand and give an account just with the word being alive and active. Isn't it strange? You will read one passage today and in 3 months' time you'll read that same passage and it will have a totally different meaning to you. That's how God works. That's where we see the word is alive and active. And so God, when the word gets preached or taught, God means business with you and I. Look at the second scripture that we need to look at here. Jeremiah 17, verses 9 to 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. And this morning, as we're going into what I think God is wanting to do here, there's a myth out there that says, follow your heart. Yes, scripture says otherwise. If you look at your heart is deceitful. It's deceptive. Your heart takes you away from the things of God. It's the one thing that I want to say, very difficult to train. But the one thing I can say to you is that the Lord wants to give us new hearts. He wants to give us a new spirit. And actually, the heart is the center of the human spirit from which springs up emotions, thoughts, motivation, courage, and actions. But you need to be mindful that scripture also says that the heart is the wellspring of life. And this becomes important for us as we look at this journey. Why? Because you know what? When we look at our hearts, we don't do enough to guard it. What you listen to, what you read, what you watch, garbage in, garbage out. As Christ followers, we need to be challenging ourselves because we have become numb to some of the things that are happening around us, and we are entertaining ourselves with very unhelpful stuff. I'm going to say to you, be careful. There is so much social media out there. There's so many works out there. There's so many winds of doctrine out there. That's why we're part of a local church. And as best as we can, we focus on what God is giving us here. So you got to trust the apostolic voices, the elders as well, that the material that's going out is so we can help us build well and be an effective church. What about Netflix? I want to tell you something. For me, Netflix is, there's some really good series on there. But Lee and I have had to sit and we've had to make certain decisions. Some of the programs are horrific, the language. Some of the sexual scenes that there are. Then there's other programs that you're watching. There'll be a sexual scene. What we do is if there's very little bad language or something like that, we will skim through it so that that we've moved from that. But how many of us are actually sitting and actually entertaining ourselves with stuff like this? Your cell phone, Instagram. I think the Lord's specific on this one. Do you know that if you go, there's a little icon that says search. If you go on the Instagram and you search, the algorithms, depending on what you give yourself to, the stuff that will appear there is where you've been linking yourself. And I remember years ago that I used to like the surfing. Now, the problem is it's not just guys who surf. It's girls as well. And that became a challenge because I suddenly started to realize it's very dangerous to have something like that because what happens is you very quickly start being drawn to those pictures. And I want to say, I don't know why, but I feel this morning I need to say to you, some of you are committing spiritual adultery. You need to stop it. This is where the Lord does business with us. And you'll see why this becomes important for us. We've got to guard our hearts because what we're feeding ourselves ultimately will take us away from the mountain and it will move us to the things that are off center, that are not of God. All right. So there's this guy called David. And I want to show you some scriptures about David and what he does. And this is where God is taking us. So David was a man who was after God's own heart. And one of the things that David, he was a very humble man. He was a king. And he had an incredible, difficult journey. And David found himself in some very challenging times. So I want to show you what Psalm 17:3 says. It says, though you probe my heart and examine me at night, though you test me, you will find nothing. I have resolved that my mouth will not sin. Let's look at Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Why is this becoming important for us? Because David, who was a man after God's own heart, himself recognized his frailty and his weakness. But even in times of difficulty, he would go before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm here before you. Search my heart. Probe it. Test it. And then he goes on, he says, and I resolve not to sin or to say anything negative around that. He's not saying that he is sinless, But at that given moment, there was a specific moment that he could say, there's nothing as a result of sin that causes me to find myself in this place. And I think when we look at Psalm 139, where he says, search me. See if there's anything that is unhelpful in me. I wonder how many of us really get to that place and are honest and truthful with God when we sit and we say, Lord, I need you to search my heart. The problem is we get on with life. We're more worried about working for our retirement and for money and all of these things. These things are not bad, but they can take the place of God because we're living for those things rather than living for God. Thank you. Double an anointing on that side, Lord. Probing and testing is a thorough, deep investigation that goes on inside of us. Also, what's interesting, if you just go and look at it, there's a smelting that happens when you probe and you test things. What happens is there's a refining process to remove impurities in our lives. And let me say this to you. When you ask God to probe and test you, like my foot, the doctor didn't go, "Ach, foot toch, arme ding, sorry little thing, footy footy." No, he took my foot and he was like wiggling it out and I'm like, ah, and it's pain. And sometimes when we sit before the Lord, I'm going to say to you today, if you want God to do business with you, put your seatbelt on, because the Lord is not going to leave you untouched. He's not going to leave you as you are. He's going to search the very core of your being. And I'm going to say to some of us, it's going to hurt a bit. But the beautiful thing is that out of that pain, the impurities get removed like dross comes to the surface and God clears those things. He's not vindictive. He's a loving father. And he loves us. He loves this church. And he wants her to flourish and to be beautiful. That's his heart. So we know now that with probing, examining, and inspecting things, that the Lord is going to go deep. I feel like it's not just the stethoscope. It's not just the x-ray. It's the MRI scan that we need at this stage. As you sit here this morning, consider all areas of your life. You know, because some of us are sitting here and we may be saying, oh, well, I don't do porn. That's okay. Great. Well done, actually. What about your marriage? How's your marriage? What's your relationships like with your children? If you're single, what is your attitudes? What are your motives like with those that you're connecting with, those that are over you in the Lord, those that are parents, those that are alongside you? If you are children, and we can be adults and still be children, how are we operating in this area of our lives towards our parents that are possibly still alive? What about your friendships, your leisure places, your workplace? What about our finances? We've heard a wonderful teaching this morning and a stewardship thing. Are we stewarding God's finances well? Your salary isn't your own. God gave it to you. It doesn't matter how you think you got it. If we understand what God has done in our lives, everything is from his hand because he owns everything. What about eating? What about exercising? Many of us sitting here have unrealized sins in our lives, and God wants to deal with this stuff, and he wants to set you free. And with that, he will check the attitudes of your heart and the motives of your heart. It's a sober morning, but I really believe in my heart that the Lord is going to do business here, and I honestly have this feeling that the Lord is going to set some people free, and there will be some practical stuff here. So with us examining ourselves, I just want to show you some scriptures that can encourage us. Lamentations 3, verses 40. Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. That's the heart of God, for us to test, come back to him. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 28. Look at what this word says. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. Is that it? You go on and you read later on, it says that some of us need to be careful when we take part of the bread, because the way that we take part of the bread, the communion, is that we need to understand the importance of what Jesus did on the cross for us, the shedding of his blood, the breaking of the bread, the body that was bruised and broken for us. But actually, Paul writes to the Corinthian church at this given time, and he says, you need to search your hearts in this. He says, because some of you have become sick. Some of you have become weak. And he says, some of you have fallen asleep. That fallen asleep is that people have died. Now, I want to say this to you. As a Christian, it's very possible that the Lord could shortcut your life to preserve you. Because if you are really His, none will be lost. But the problem is in the church, and you'll see where it's going now. Many of us are potentially weak. We've become sick. And the Lord wants to bring healing so that you can be more effective for the kingdom of God, and actually that the church will flourish. I think next week I'm going to have a half of you guys here, if I'm lucky. You know, the thing is, I want to share a story, and this is a true story. About 2 years ago, I was asked to go and pray for a lady who had breast cancer. And this lady was 39 years old. And when I went to go and pray with her, the story happened was that she had realized that she had a problem with her one breast, but failed to act on it. She didn't go to the doctors. I don't know what the reasons were. But what I do know is when I went and sat with her, I was asked by the company to go and pray with her. My first thing was with her, I said to her, I believe God can heal you, and I'm going to pray for that. I said, but if He doesn't heal you here, there's a place that you can receive healing. And this healing will mean that when you are called by Jesus back to heaven with Him, that you can live with Him for eternity. And guess what? You will have no suffering. You will have no pain. I said, the most important thing this morning is that as I pray with you, is that Jesus needs to be central in your life. He's the only one who can heal us and restore us. And as I spoke, I said to her, I'm not lacking in my faith to believe for healing. But what I am trusting is that the Lord perhaps will heal you. But if He doesn't, we can get you restored and ready for where He's calling you. And I remember taking her through a prayer of salvation. And she gave her life to the Lord, weeping and crying. She had a 4-year-old girl that she was going to be leaving behind. But the point of the matter was, I think if she had maybe followed through earlier, she could still be around. But the good news saved her at the 11th hour. So it's not too late. Listen to what Psalm 32, verses 1 to 5 says. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, those whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, this is important, look at this. My bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped, as in the heat of summer, Selah. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. I don't need to tell you anymore. Scripture speaks for itself. Can you see this? So, you're reminded in Ezekiel 37 where it speaks of the dry bones. The dry bones that happens here, what was really essentially happening is that it symbolized the barrenness and dullness or death because of unconfessed sin or people going back into the same old, same old. And this is the heart of God, that He actually, through this, wants to breathe life back into the bones. You can only get life back into your bones if you firstly recognize your need for Jesus, if you're not yet saved, but also those who are Christ followers, that we need to recognize that actually we've got to confess our sin. We've got to deal with it. So now I'm going to give you literally a spiritual bomb, and we're going to wind up with ministry. We need to let Scripture search our hearts. I don't have an opinion. I'm not God, and I didn't die on the cross for you. So as I read this, I'm searching my heart. I've been searching my heart the whole week, and I want you to be open to what God's going to address here, because He will not only show you from this, but other areas of our lives. So let's go for it. Galatians 5. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discourse, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Colossians 3, verses 5 to 8. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Mark 7. For from within, out of a man's heart, come evil thoughts: sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. That's the heart. 2 Timothy 3. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its deity or its power, have nothing to do with them. Ephesians 4. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up in accordance to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. Romans 1, 29-31. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, and ruthless. Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15. It's the last one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. This morning, as I land, this is a reality check. This is a sobering moment for us. Because the thing is, church, sin kills. Sin destroys. And the purpose of me putting this up this morning, I felt like the Lord saying that this is the kind of response that I want from you. I want you to invite me into your world. God is saying, I want you to humble yourself. And I want you to repent and turn from your ways. We show true repentance by moving away from the things that we constantly are going back into, or moving away from things that God is highlighting now. And he's saying, I want you to turn from those things. You need to ask God to search you now. You need to acknowledge what is being highlighted between you and the Lord. And then choose your path. Repent and turn from your ways. And don't go back there. Seek forgiveness from God. Renounce the work of the enemy in your life, where you've made a contract or an agreement with him because you've given yourself to those things. You need to renounce it. You need to cut it off, because God has given you authority in Jesus Christ to cut off those things that are holding us in bondage and captivity. And then start to fill yourself with the things of God. Prayer and worship and reading, which is what Vaughn brought earlier on. Praising God. Taking the promises of God and holding on to them. One of the promises that I felt like the Lord showed me this morning is, and I'm really am going to land so we can really let God do business with us. But this is an amazing promise in Ephesians, which I haven't given yet. But listen to this. Ephesians 3, from verse 14, it says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power together with all saints to grasp how wide and how long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. And now," say now, "unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Right now, as you sit here, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. This is your mirror moment. With your eyes closed, Nelis, you guys can come up. You can fool people, but you can't fool God. The Lord right now is showing people here, as I've read scripture, there might be things that have not lined up with this scripture, but God has shown you other areas in your life that he's wanting you to come and do business with him. But this is a moment as well where you can actually say, "Lord, search my heart. Come and search me. See if there's anything in me. Reveal it to me." Right now, the Holy Spirit is busy working with people here. You don't want to leave this place holding on to this stuff. Secondly, with that, the Lord is drawing a line in the sand. You need to draw a line in the sand, because we need to get rid of our excuses and we need to choose which side of the line we're going to walk on. You cannot sit with your feet in two camps, church. You're hurting yourself. You're hurting your testimony. And some of us are spiritually dying because we're holding on to the things that the Lord actually wants us to let go of. And right now, the Lord wants to come and do spiritual surgery as well. And he wants to heal. He wants to bind up the brokenhearted. He wants to set the captives free. But he's saying to you, "I want you to surrender. I want you to let this thing go." And I'm going to say to you this morning, you might be battling with things here. You can identify with the scriptures here. There's a song coming up now, "I Surrender." And I want you this morning to take an honest step to come and do business with God. He's spoken to you to come and humble yourself. Say, "Lord, come and search me." And then I want you to start seeking him as we just gently let the music play. And I want you to do business and repent, renounce, and come back to the Lord. And if you can't come to the front and you can't kneel or anything like that, then you do business with the Lord where you are. But I'm going to ask for the rest of us. Why? Because when we take a step, what we're doing is we're drawing a line in the sand. We're saying to Satan and his demonic forces, "You no longer have control or authority here. It belongs to Jesus." And I want to invite you now. This word has meant something to you. Come to the front. Come and bow. Come and do business with him. Thank you, Lord.
Just during worship, I got this word. And I just feel it's time to share it. I feel the Lord is saying, "I am a jealous God. I will not share my glory with anyone or anything. You were created to worship me. Worship me in spirit and in truth. Lay down your idols. Lay down your pride and search your hearts."
Oh, the Lord loves you. He loves this church. The Lord wants to set the captives free this morning. You need to come out of your chairs. Don't park there. If you know that the Lord is calling you, I'm going to ask Nelius and Michelle and the team just to quietly, while you're doing business with God here, for the rest of you, if you are in the back here and the Lord's working with you, that's fine, or just pray for these folk. But I want them to start singing this song over us, gently, as you do business with the Lord. Repent. I feel like the Lord is going to heal and restore marriages. It's going to be a supernatural thing. Where there's been such anguish, and I want to almost say the word hatred, the Lord is going to break that over people here this morning. Spirit, would you come and move now over these folk? Those that are sitting, we're wanting to do business with you. Holy Spirit, we're calling on you to come and touch and heal your people. Holy Spirit, would you come and uproot the very things that have grown in people's gardens? And this morning, as they repent of it, as they say, Lord, please forgive me. Have mercy on me. Lord, we're reminded that your word says that you forgive us and you remember our sins no more. That people can live free, Lord. As you are on your knees here, just cry out. Just say, Lord, forgive me. Have mercy. I choose to walk in your ways. I choose to follow you, Lord. Help me, Lord. I renounce any agreement I've made with the enemy now. I renounce it in the name of Jesus. It no longer has a hold on me. And Lord, I choose to follow you and to walk in your ways. Walk with what your word teaches. And to go where your Holy Spirit leads us. Lord, come. And Lord, I believe there's power in your name. Father, I don't know. Folk have different things that they're dealing with. But I believe, Lord, that you can cauterize the bleeding in people's hearts, which has taken them back to the things that they, that they've defaulted to, the very thing that you wanted to rescue them out of, they've gone back to that thing. I want to break it now in the name of Jesus. We take authority over that. It has no place in this church, has no place in people's lives, and we're calling out to you, and we ask, Lord, come and do a spiritual cleansing in the name of Jesus. I see gambling. There's somebody that's gambling. The Lord has made you a steward of your finances, and you're busy squandering what He's given you. I want to say that if that is you, please, I'm asking you with everything in my heart this morning, please, will you humble yourself, repent, and turn back to the Lord? You do not want God to humble you. The Lord loves you. He singled you out because He loves you. I feel like there's been a lot of money that has been lost as a result of gambling, and the Lord wants to stop that bleeding now in the name of Jesus, if you would respond accordingly. And perhaps this morning, you're sitting here, you don't know Jesus. While God's ministering, maybe you don't know Him as your Lord and Savior. Perhaps there's somebody here that says, I want to give my life to Jesus this morning. I want to say to you, anything that the people are doing here, if you attempt to do any of this and you don't have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're doing it in the works of the flesh. You're doing it with a deceitful heart, and it's the very thing that He wants to set you free from. You need Jesus this morning. Is there anybody here that says, hey man, I need Jesus. You need to pray for me, please. I want to receive Him as my Lord and Savior. Is there anybody today? Thank you, Lord.